As I prepared for this sermon, I was struck by the fact that in a matter of days, we were catapulted from the wise men, or kings, or seers, however you want to refer to them, visiting the baby Jesus, to the start of Jesus' adult ministry. We didn't get much time to dwell on the excitement and joy of a new baby. But you know what? As much as we'd like to linger at the manger, we cannot. Instead, we get 12 days of Christmas, plus the day of Epiphany, and then we're plunged into the baptism of Jesus, the day that we celebrated last week. And we are now moving right into Jesus putting together his ministry team, his disciples, those who would work with him throughout the rest of his life, and then after his death to heal, to pray, to promote justice, and to share the good news of the graciousness of our God. I chose to include a few extra verses in today's gospel reading so that we get the complete story of the calling of those first disciples. So here's the timeline. Day one, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. Day two, Andrew and an unnamed disciple of John the Baptist hear John declare, "Behold the Lamb of God." So those two disciples leave John the Baptist and follow that Lamb of God. On their way following Jesus, Andrew finds his brother Simon. And of course, we also know him as Simon Peter or Peter, and that day is renamed also by Jesus Cephas. And on that day, Peter also joins this group. Day three, Jesus sees Philip and says, "Follow me," and Philip does. That same day, Philip asks Nathanael to come along, but Nathanael has some reservations. These reservations do get dispelled when he meets Jesus personally, and so Nathanael becomes the fifth in this group to join Jesus' ministry team. So in the matter of 2 days, the 2 days following Jesus' baptism, three men, Andrew, Peter, and the unnamed man who is understood to be John, the writer of this gospel, just followed Jesus along after hearing John the Baptist's declaration. Then one man was specifically invited by Jesus on the third day, and that man then turns around and invites Nathanael. And that man, again, needed just a little bit extra encouragement from Jesus to join the group. After this, though, we hear nothing else from John about how the other disciples have been called. Of course, there are stories about the calling of other disciples in the other Gospels, but in John's Gospel, these are the only 5 specific calls that we hear. So why might this be? Let's look at this interesting progression from the first disciple almost inviting themselves along to the next quickly responding to Jesus' invitation to Nathanael, who needs a little extra encouragement. I can't help but believe that the Holy Spirit, working through John the Evangelist, was laying out for us that no matter where on the continuum we lie with regard to our outward willingness to follow, we are still invited and we are still accepted. As I read how each of these first 5 joined Jesus, it is clear that Jesus knew each man, knew their characters, knew how to approach each one. Jesus did not rebuke Nathanael for not immediately following, but instead he revealed in enough words, and that allowed Nathanael to get past his prejudices and join the disciples. And as we learn more about the disciples and Jesus in Scripture, we see Jesus treating each of them, teaching each of them, and loving each of them as the human individuals they were. Which leads to one other really important message. Each one of those first 5, and dare I say all of Jesus' disciples, were common, ordinary people. What was extraordinary was God's ability to work through those humans. What is extraordinary is God's ability to work through each one of us as imperfect, ordinary humans. The five that we read about in these verses ranged from ready to follow Jesus right now with a few words from a friend, to being ready to follow Jesus at Jesus' invitation, to needing Jesus himself to do a little extra convincing. So where are you on the spectrum listed above right now? I don't know about you, but there are days where I'm like Andrew, chomping at the bit to follow Jesus. Then there are other days where I'm much more like Nathaniel, where I need that extra convincing. I need more glimpses of God. And these are so often provided by the presence of God in others around me. Regardless of where we are at any given time, Jesus understands because we are loved and we are known by Jesus. Where we are, who we are, each moment of each day. Now, I'm very aware that right now, with all that is going on from a pandemic that has lasted longer and been worse than any of us could have imagined a year ago, to the threat of continued violence in our country triggered by a democratic process that we hold very dearly, that thinking about disciples who lived so long ago and how Jesus called them to follow him may seem irrelevant. And as I prepared to write the sermon, I struggled with so many distractions, both inside and out, regarding our current times. And these are distractions not only from the work I need to do to prepare for teaching my semester or to work on writing this sermon, but also distractions in my relationship with God. How I wish I could linger by the cradle of Jesus and bask in the comfort and joy of a new baby, the Son of God, so that my fears and anxieties could be comforted and relieved by remaining in the holy presence and letting all else go. I'd love to hold my family close, lock the doors, sing Christmas carols, and wait until the chaos subsides before I think about what Jesus is calling me to do. But as I said at the beginning, that is a luxury that our lectionary does not give us, nor do I believe is it what Jesus is calling us to do. We will not be able to stop everyone from dying from the virus, but we can wear our masks, keep distance, and eventually get a vaccine, and of course pray. We will not be able to stop those who wish harm on others and who may be planning to create chaos and violence nationwide. But we must remember that God's love is greater than the chaos. Indeed, the Bible starts with the knowledge that it only took a few words from God to create order out of deep chaos. We also must remember that God has power that we do not have. But ultimately, God works through us, through our very flawed and imperfect hands. Some who are like Andrew and jumping right in, and some others are more like Nathaniel and need a little reassurance, and that's okay. Regardless, we must be willing to look at ourselves, our community, and our country, and ask the difficult questions about how we have gotten to this place of divisions so deep that people are taking pipe bombs, weapons, and zip tie handcuffs and storming the Capitol building. We also have to ask, how can we allow God to work through our imperfect human selves to heal where we see healing is needed, to love where we see love is needed, to share the gospel where the gospel is needed, and to do what is needed for a just and equitable society. Because with God's help and God's grace, we can follow Christ and do the work of God and the church even in these anxious times. I don't know what chaos or violence we will witness in the days and weeks to come, and I truly hope that it is nothing like what is being predicted or what we saw a little over a week ago at the Capitol building. I don't know how quickly we will finally see the COVID-19 death rates significantly decrease, hopefully soon. What I do know is that God, the three in one, is ever present, that evil will not prevail in the end, that the love of God is stronger than any other power in the universe, and that nothing in this world can separate us from that love. We cannot let the chaos overwhelm and immobilize us, because there is much work to be done. Instead, we must let God quell our fears, strengthen our faith, and put us to work. Our world will not get better on its own, but we can let God work through us to make it better. So on this Sunday, when we are reminded that Jesus' ministry was not a solitary one, I pray that God will help us all to remember that we are known and loved deeply, and that we are important partners in God's holy work in this world, especially now. Amen.